All right, I don't know if this is going to work. I got this weird setup where I basically got a hidden microphone on me. Got my recorder tucked away. I got the lapel mic on. I don't know if it's going to pick things up well. And it could spontaneously turn off at any time because I'm recording on the DV cam and it turns off easy. But today I am hanging out with my friend Terry, who I was super best buds with when I was a kid. And then we drifted away, and much like with Stefan, geez, even longer. I mean, I hadn't seen Stefan in forever. And it's about the same with Terry. I mean, I guess I've seen him more recently, but since we actually hung out, it's been much, much longer than that. So since this is the first time that I'm gonna see him in a long time, I figured it would be cool slash creepy to record this. So, we'll see if this works. I'm meeting him at his work. He gets off at 10 at night, so he should be out in about 5 minutes. And then we're gonna pull an all-nighter, fuck around, do some podcasting, play some video games, rekindle the olden days. This is where Matt works too. And just looking in the windows, never really seen this place before. It is a total cubicle hell. He's been working here for like 6 years. He's finally quitting for good pretty soon. And yeah, I mean, I guess for Fredericton, it could be a lot worse. From what I hear, it's pretty flexible. Pay's not so bad. Whew, but I could see wanting to get out of here. But I got a little time to kill here, just a couple minutes, but I'm gonna go to the lot next door, duck into some bushes and take a piss, because I drank a shit ton of coffee on the way here. Wish I could get another coffee right now, actually, since I'm gonna be up all night. But nothing's fucking open anymore, not in this town. Yeah, this was literally pretty much one end of town to the other. From the north side all the way to UPS, that spans, I'd say, 80% of the town. And it only took me about an hour and a half. Could be a lot worse. Ah, that's better. Well, howdy.
What the fuck
are
you doing?
I'm meeting old man Murray.
Ah.
And check this out. I'm actually recording right now. Oh, look at this. Look at this shit. Holy fucking Three Amigos fucking rendezvous.
I'll get throat cancer because I'm smoking.
Check this out.
You can still do a podcast.
I'm actually recording right now.
Oh, sweet.
I wanted to test this out for like
this is my weak voice.
I figured it would be fun for me and creepy in general to be like, hey, I haven't seen Terry in years. I'll record the reunion. And then I ran into Matt. So, how are you guys doing?
Yeah, way to spoil
well,
it, man.
He's better than me. Ow. I think you're off work, and I'm just about to start work, so.
Yeah, that's true. I almost didn't even find the place. I got to the corner up there, and I was like, oh, fuck, left or right, shit. And then I realized there's nothing left. It's like, that's the end of the city, so.
No, I saw some dude just walking, much the and I'm edge. Like, I know that gangly chap.
I'm glad you didn't see me 2 minutes earlier, because I was pissing in those bushes next door.
That's probably for the best.
That was you pissing in those bushes.
I was like, hey, I think that's Keith's cock.
I recorded that, too. I got it all on tape.
Nice. Fuck you, bushes.
Yeah, I don't know if this is going to work, but if it does, it's pretty sweet, right?
That
I
mean, it's cool.
It is a little bit like,
you
what the hell is that?
Even see it.
Yeah.
It looks like it's just like a clip on your.
I could
like,
just get a flower for it or something. No one would ever know.
That'll look more suspicious. People are like, what the hell is he wearing? Nobody wears flowers like, these days.
I'm going to sniff my boots.
What are you
here.
Gay?
No, you're going to squirt me. No.
I'm gay, like England gay.
I got a little flower in my lip.
Did you get a haircut?
I did.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
No.
Yeah, it's true. You know, usually I don't notice good haircuts.
Yeah, you're looking more correct, I guess, but that's
correct.
Not cool.
I'm looking more UPS.
Yeah, he's looking more conformed.
Yeah. I got to let mine get longer because, well, maybe you heard this. I was telling Matt, but it was on the podcast. Just before I left New York, this awesome vision I had where I was having sex with a girl I was seeing at the time, looking at myself in her mirror with long hair and the beard. The beard's coming back. I was just like, look at that guy.
He looks cool enough to fuck that chick.
So I'm going back to that.
I remember that now. I kind of remember that because I like ended up rewinding. I was like, what the hell is he talking about? Because I was like right in the ship. Like,
why was he watching this long-haired guy fuck his girlfriend?
Yeah, the first thing I had actually was a vision of American Psycho where he's just like,
yeah, looking at himself.
Terry was telling me he had somebody like a supervisor type dude watching, you know, just observing or whatever while he was listening to that show about
the show you did, and he was
chick at the North Star.
The strip store. Kevin's just sitting right here, and I'm trying not to laugh, especially at the part where he stepped on the condom. I almost lost it, but it came out like I didn't want to sound like a complete retard. I'm just like listening to music, laughing about the music or something. I'm just like,
just like new Metallica album.
That riff is fucking hilarious.
Yeah, man, nothing like freaking, you know, Megadeth to get me chuckling, you know.
I was thinking I want to try to get for the summer some kind of outdoor work, but I don't have muscles. What can I do? You know, I don't know. It'd just be nice to be outside.
You can do outdoors work with no muscles.
For a little while.
Outdoor camping. That's all the rage.
Outdoor camping.
Just set your desk up in a little lean-to.
Don't do it down by the river because, you know, the wind will blow your papers away.
Yeah, I don't know. I should try to see if I can get a job like painting houses or something. I don't know. I just feel like I want to be outdoors while it's nice.
That'd be all right.
That'd be cool. I got to get some kind of job.
Definitely time of year to look for outdoors work.
Be a flagger for the fucking road construction.
That does seem kind of boring, though.
Yeah, it's pretty hot work, too, because you got to wear all that crap, and you're sitting on hot asphalt. You can't go anywhere because you got to stand on the hot asphalt.
Maybe I could freelance. I can go to Odell Park and offer, like, tours that I made up.
Yeah, just start doing, like, your tour guide thing. Like, you know, you're in some, like, you know, South American village or something. You're like, yeah, he's going to show us the ancient ruins. Yeah, and, you know, they throw you a bottle of pop, you know. You're like, yeah, you got the sugar water, you run off, you know.
Well, shit, bitches, now I don't want to go to work. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, we're going to go play Guitar Hero and shit. Sorry.
Yeah, Burl and Jay's extra guitar and his rock band, too. We're going to rock it up. Wake up the wife, get her pissed.
I mean, that's the other thing. I've never really seen UPS, but through these little slats while I was going to piss, I saw a little bit of it, and it does pretty cubically.
Yeah. At least you're not on the phone. It's not like a real call. So, I mean, even though I'm in teleservicing, I had 4 calls today. Yesterday I had 5. That's like the worst day I've had in weeks. I'm serious. No joke. Well, I think my worst day ever was like 7 calls.
I got this special account where you're supposed to fax, like, the invoice. And I've had that account for a year. I've never done one. I just send it to the next raider. I'm like, I don't even put any comments in. I'm just like, I don't do faxes. For a while there, my email wasn't working, and I never bothered to get it fixed. And I was like, well, I can't do anything about it. I can't send any email.
It's like me when they move me up to teleservices. There's still like 3 programs I can't get into. So every time somebody gets on the phone, they're like, well, just go on demand. I'm like, it doesn't work for me. I tried. All I have to do is call the TSG guys, and I don't feel like doing it, so I'm not going to do it. It's like, yeah, they can fix you right up. I'm like, yeah, sure, they could, if I cared, you know.
Meanwhile, that guy probably is also just like, I didn't do shit today.
TSG's guy's like, man, I'm glad nobody called.
If you have the right attitude, you can do very little work.
Yeah.
I remember the closest I had to a job like this in Vancouver was, it's like trying to track down debtors type thing. I only did it for a month, and it was all phone stuff.
But, oh, man. That would drive me insane.
One day, I was so tired, I could barely even function, so I just started picking random numbers out of the phone book and calling them, so it looked like I was working. I did that for like 3 hours.
Give me debts, any chance? You want to send us some money for them?
That was like the time, like back in the day, me and my Romanian friend Christian, we started calling random numbers in the phone book, trying to find like numbers that look kind of like hip, cool people, but none of them were. We're asking the same like teenage question, like, what do you think's cooler, Genesis or Super Nintendo? And they're just like, half the time, like most of the time, we just got click, or like, I don't know, click. You know? But every once in a while, some guy would be like, ah, Super NES is way better. I'm like, fuck you, man, click. And Genesis rocks.
And you get the ones where you can hear the guy breathe in his inhaler and then push his glass. I'm like, oh, Jesus.
Well, thoughts on the matter differ.
God damn it. You went too far.
Yeah, you hear something. Well, yeah, just, like, well, let me get my last GamePro and we'll have a discussion.
My God's a little sick, and you want.
So if we start getting too loud, so we, you know, and we might wake up your wife, we need a signal. Maybe like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, anything that signifies, like, you know, a lower tone. Shut up.
So we were just talking about Borat, and the scene where Borat and his manager guy are all nude in the hotel fucking battling. And you have, like, a real-life story of that when you worked at...
Yeah, it was kind of like that. Yeah, it was New Year's, so it was, like, New Year's Day. And basically, you know, because I worked at graveyards at the hotel. So we're sitting there, me and the... he was doing security that night. He's reading the paper. I'm sitting there reading my book. And there's no sound in the lobby, right? So you hear the elevator open, you know, you both look up. And then this huge fat guy comes strolling in. He must have been, like, 300 pounds, and he was great. Fucked up. You could tell he just had that drunken look. Like, he was all red-faced and sweaty. He just comes stumbling. You know when you're sweaty and you're naked, you got to be drunk, right? So he comes stumbling over, and he's like, "We know this is gonna be like." We're both kind of grinning, but we both have that same condemned look on our face that we have to deal with this guy. It's our job. So he comes over, and he's like mumbling something, and we get out of that. He locked himself out of his room. I don't know what he's doing outside of his room. Like, I think he must have actually was so drunk he thought he was going to the bathroom. So that's the only conclusion I've come to, that the bathroom's like, oh shit, I'm out of my room. Oh no, the door locked. You know, just, oh fuck, now I'm in the hallway naked. Of course, he was so drunk, he wasn't even having conscious, you know, direct, you know, full sentence thoughts like that. It was just like, oh, God. So he gets in the elevator and comes out. So he's like, we finally get a name out of him, and we check and we find a room up in the smoking area that goes under that name. And we still, to this day, we got to assume that it was the right room, because we get him in the room, we open up the door, and we just kind of booted him in, you know? It's like, I hope some girl doesn't scream and call the front desk here in about 5 minutes.
Or like they wake up in the morning and he's just curled up on their floor. Like, where the fuck did that guy come
from? Or he's actually in the bed with them, you know? Just, you know, oh my God, there's a fat naked guy in my bed, you know? So yeah, it was entertaining.
That's like, I wasn't there for this, but the coffee shop I used to work at, my friend Erin worked there, and she said one night this, and our fucking bathrooms were always out of order all the time. It was fucking ridiculous. But this lady came in and was like, just really like fucking, what's the word I'm looking for? Insistent that she absolutely needed to get into the bathroom, but it was out of the order. We couldn't. I mean, we had the employee one, but you know, we're not letting you in there. So she started pulling off her clothes in the store. I was like, you're not gonna let me in? I'll just take a piss right here. Starts pulling off her pants and clothes and shit.
Is that the one you base that comic off of? Because you were like the like day, you know, a day in the at the coffee shop, and it was all this nasty shit, like dude doing crack in the bathroom and stuff.
That was one of my favorite drawings too, that dude just like, I'm shitting.
Man, when I read that comic, my first thought was when I was working at that Northside pizza place, because they're like, daily you go in, you find just the syringe floating in the toilet. You're like, man, how many people want to use a toilet after the guy left the syringe in there? Like, good God.
Did you hear that song, that little rap song I played about the North Side? Just about everybody's fucking on dope. And
yeah, that song. Who did that song? I was trying to find it. It's like, that song kicks ass. I don't even like rap, but it's about my town, so I gotta listen to it.
I think he's got a MySpace page. He's named DNA. But it really was true that the coffee shop was worse than the porn shop in every way. Some of the girls that worked at the porn shop had bad stories, but as a dude, I had like almost no problems ever. Meanwhile, the fucking coffee shop, all the time, like they did tell us when we take out garbage, we had to wear these big gloves and hold the bags away from our body because a needle could poke out at any time.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah, man. Brutal.
I remember a couple times, I won't say the guy's name, but there was one legendary character in the area, and he actually was missing an eye, and he always had this crazy afro. He kind of looked like Weird Al if he was like really fucked up on crack and was missing an eye, you know? And you just come, like, this would happen all the time. You'd be sitting at the front counter, you know, staring at the oven as it rotates, got nothing to do, and all of a sudden he just come running in and go into the bathroom and slam the door, and then all of a sudden like two cops come running in, like out of breath, and they're like, man, do you see blah blah blah, man, crazy hair, eye patch, like, it's in the bathroom, guys, you know, just throw them the key, you know. That was like, you know, a weekly thing for me. It was like this one cracky guy always running in, and he was like notorious, and the story behind it was that apparently he was at a party all coked up, and some black guy stabbed him in the eye.
Holy shit.
And then he got up with a knife still in his eye and beat the shit out. I put the guy in the hospital, almost killed him. I'm like, man, this guy's fucking crazy. So I won't even mention his name, but yeah, he's fucking insane.
Man, that'd be hardcore. Can you imagine just
Just getting stabbed in the eye and then freaking out, you know, and just beating the guy and while they're getting beaten by a guy with a knife in his eye?
That's like some fucking movie shit. That's crazy.
I know, it's fucking crazy. Man, that guy is just fucked up, man. And sometimes you come in, sans the eye patch. And that was not pleasant, because those were the days where you wanted to order shit. You're like, yeah, don't air, man. You're trying not to look at his gaping eye hole.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, if he didn't have a fake eye, like, he could totally stash his weed in there.
Just slide it in, put the eye patch in. No one over the cavity search checks there.
This is kind of bringing me back because I don't know, what time is it, like 1:30 something?
I don't know.
In the morning? But this is when
must
I
must be around 1-ish, I'm thinking.
Cause
yeah, maybe 1:30.
I did a ton of these in New York, like at night, you know, just walking the streets. And this is
the optimal time because there's like fewer people.
I was gonna say, which way should we go? Is there anything, any destinations around here? 24-hour
really.
Gas station? Nothing?
Just walk down the Silverwood, I guess. It's a good stroll.
Sure, let's do that. How far out are we? We're still in the city limits, right?
Technically, yeah. We're pretty much on the edge. We're kind of on the edge. I don't think we actually saw, like, leaving Fredericton sign, but this is pretty much the edge of town.
This isn't too bad. I mean, I wasn't really sure how far out you were, but I thought it might be further than this. This isn't...
Yeah, it sounds so further when you describe it, but then once you actually get out here, it actually seems further when you're coming down the actual Woodstock Road and you go past the Diplomat. It seems like a longer drive than when you come from uptown. Because uptown, you're going down the highway, and it's like 4 or 5 minutes, you know, because you're going at 80.
So, let me set the scene a little, because since this is all audio, I always find that important. So, it's late at night. Not a fucking soul around. Like this. Lots of trees. Lots of trees on both sides of this street.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, and like, okay, so here's what we were talking about earlier. Stars, man.
Yeah, we're actually sitting on a street. There's a street light above us. And we can see stars.
Yeah.
What's that say about Fredericton? Well, at least that's part of it.
Yeah, so earlier when we first got to your place, I was saying how this reminded me of, first off, how in fucking New York I couldn't see fucking dick ever.
I've always heard of that, like that, what do you call it, light pollution?
Right.
And I remember there was even an episode of The Simpsons about that shit. I'm like, you gotta be able to see them. But I guess not. That's just odd to me, man. My whole life has been spent looking up at the sky and seeing stars.
And then I was also thinking of that house you used to live in that was damn far out. But it was the fucking...
Yeah, out to Pontiac, and you go like on the shit side of the river, so nobody lives out there.
But the stars were fucking nice. You guys had a fucking turkey.
Yeah, we had what, three turkeys?
And they smelled bad.
Yeah, they smelled like fucking dirty turkeys. Man, I don't think there's any use in the world for turkey shit. I mean, you can put human shit on all the crops you want, but turkey shit? Nah. You can even use bat shit to grow shit. I don't know about turkey shit.
Fucking yeah, this
dirty
is cool.
Turkeys.
So fucking quiet. Just like...
The weird thing was one of the turkeys just kind of disappeared one day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you think he escaped or someone
poached
him?
No, he didn't escape. Or the other ones would have escaped, right? Yeah, they kind of ate him. That's the only conclusion we had. It was like, because I mean, there's always feathers kicking around, but there seemed to be an extra supply. And it's like there was a turkey missing. I'm like, they plucked their friend and ate him.
Maybe he was just like the biggest turkey asshole, and they're like, that's it. We've had enough.
Fucking. Well, the weird thing about him was he was kind of like weird, like kind of stilted and sickly, almost sickly looking. Like he didn't look fully healthy. Like we were talking about not even eating him. And then he just disappeared. Like, oh, problem solved. But in a way, I guess we kind of did eat them because if the turkeys ate them and we ate the turkeys, ugh.
Cycle of life.
Exactly. I remember the funniest thing, though, was because everybody's like, we're not getting attached to the turkeys. And me, I'm an animal guy. I like animals. I get attached to animals, but not turkeys. They're ugly, and they smell like shit, like we just mentioned. They fucking smell disgusting. There's no way in hell I'm ever going to say, oh, look at the cute little turkey. That's not going to happen.
So you didn't even name your turkeys or nothing?
No, nobody gave names, and everybody was saying, oh, we ain't going to attach to the turkey. We aren't going to get attached. And then me and my mom's boyfriend ended up killing the turkeys. I was mostly him. I didn't really want to cut up turkeys, but I did help him cut off some heads. And we, you know, he did the plucking and shit, and we cooked them, and man, I thought turkey tasted pretty good, but nobody else would eat it. It's like big Thanksgiving dinner. It's like everybody's kind of looking at the turkey, and you could see it on all their faces. That used to be living out back. I used to go feed that.
I did think that was like kind of interesting that this guy Spooky I knew in New York who grew up on a farm. You know, he had to, like, slit pigs' throats all the time. And they had cats, like, a huge problem with, like, cats having babies and just these tons of cats running around. So he told me that even when he was really young, they got him doing this. If you caught these little stray cats, he took them into the water barrel out back and drowned them. And he just did that. And he just, like...
Man, I don't know if I could do that, man.
Yeah, but that's weird, right?
But I guess you get used to it. That's just... The routine, you know?
Yeah.
That's just what you do.
Very different than, like my idea of cats and dogs and shit.
Yeah, like people will take fists up the ass, you know? It's not something I plan on doing, but that's just another day in the park.
Yeah, you start when you're a kid. It's like, whatever.
Yeah, you start with, you know, a G.I. Joe and work your way up to a He-Man.
So did that turkey.
Bet you've got a whole Tonka truck up there, man, and you're ready. You're ready to take a big black fist up your ass.
Do you remember that Eddie Murphy thing? G.I. Joe is
swimming in the water. Oh, and then the big brown shark came. Wake up, got another day to get through now. Got another man to see. Got a call on the telephone. Well, got to find some paper. Sit down, got another letter to write. Think hard, got a little letter to write. Gonna bring it on the telephone. Why not? Got to write another letter. No such thing as tomorrow. All we want, 2, 3, go. Got the top ding ding digging in my head. Got the top ding ding digging in my head. Got the top ding ding digging in my head. Digging in my head. Digging in my head. Digging in my head. If I tell you what I'm doing today, will you shut me out of my way? Someone else needs the time, which I don't know.
Yeah, one car finally went by.
Yeah, this used to be the Trans-Can. This is the remnants of the old Trans-Canada. We saw one car. It's fucking quiet out here.
Yeah, this is nice. So if you had to walk into town, like, how long would it take from here?
I could probably get to uptown. If I was really huffing it, I think I could do it within an hour at least, probably more like 30, 40 minutes.
Yeah, like, that's okay. So let's recap some of our history. So I mean, I guess, like, I did a podcast with my friend Stefan the other day, who I haven't seen since, like, 2003 or something. And I was thinking, I guess I've seen you then, because I remember running into you actually near UPS and being like, yeah, I'm moving to Vancouver.
Yeah.
But even then, we really weren't hanging out much anymore.
No, we really weren't. We kind of went our own ways there for a while.
So since the last time we really hung out, like, it's been a long fucking ass time.
I think the last time we really hung out in any capacity was when I lived at Rosary Hall.
Yeah, yeah. I want to bring up some stories about that.
With the thin walls and the fucking going on.
Yeah, so this place, it's like a rooming house for students and stuff.
It's like a boarding home, so you're like rent your room. And I actually had one of the penthouse rooms with the sink in it. And that was great because I could fit like four guys in there.
Oh, yeah, and you were saying when was I talking about? Oh, with me and Matt, I was talking about the Somoza thing and like how that kind of got pioneered over there.
Like, yeah, it was me because all I had to fucking like I hated even hanging out in the kitchen because there's all these people. I'm not gonna say they're jerks or anything, just people I didn't know. And I've always been kind of a loner in some way. So I'm like, fuck, I don't need to go and warm up my food in the kitchen. I'll just leave it on the heater all fucking day. Yeah, it's good. And then later on, it's like, hey, my burger's still warm. Fucking, I'll eat that. And then it was actually that time you left the Somozas in the office all day. And I remember you called me. It's like, man, I'm never doing that again. Man, he's leaving there. I was like, "Whoa, what happened?" He's like, "Hey, man, it's just reeking in here, man. It smells like somebody left dirty socks on the fucking heater all night." It's like, ugh. And I remember I went to the store. I think later that day, and it fucking reeked. It's like, as soon as I walked in, I'm like, "Man, what's that foul smell? It smells like a rotting corpse." You're like, yeah, that's what the Somoza smell like overnight.
This is another nice thing that's handy is that I think you have a far better memory than I do because my memory comes in and out. But there's all kinds of shit I just don't remember.
Yeah, my memory's almost kind of like just crystal clear with like certain events and stuff, but it's more the stuff that happened when I was younger. Like over the years, it's not as crisp as it used to be. But
man, I can hear a car coming down the road, and I think it's because we were just talking about Stephen King getting hit.
Yeah, like, every time it's like some drunk drive.
Yeah, what if this one car ran us over, but the tape survived? That'd be the most hilarious and disturbing podcast.
Yeah, they were just talking about Stephen King getting hit, blah blah, and then fucking boom, they're dead.
I used to always think that'd be weird if in New York, if I ever got attacked and beat up, I'd just be like, whatever, take my wallet and shit, just give me that tape, because that's funny.
That's my shit, I wanted that tape of me getting mugged. Yeah.
That's one thing that's weird, though, is I really feel more like it'd be more likely for people in Fredericton to suddenly randomly jump me at night than it was in New York. Because there's just, like, people all over the place in New York. But here, who knows, you get some weird
ass
here,
that's like, you, like, right now, like, after that car goes by, it's me and you. Where are the other people? Are they hiding in the bushes?
And I'm probably just, I don't know, I don't think it would ever really happen, but in New York, I never really felt nervous about walking around at night, but there's something about Fredericton, just even coming across the train bridge and stuff. It's like, what if? You know, there's no one else around.
It's funny, I used to be paranoid about this shit, and then I got so used to walking at, like, the weirdest hours, because when I closed the Southside store, and I lived on the north side, I wouldn't get out till like 4:30 in the morning because I was kind of meticulous with getting my cash balance, making sure everything was closed up. I didn't like leaving a light on or anything stupid or not turning on the alarm or something gay. And a lot of times I'd be walking. First, I'd have to walk to the bank with a bag full of cash at like 4 in the morning. I'm just got like, $3,000 or $4,000 just sitting in my pocket. I'm like, dude.
Wait, which store was this? What were you?
Oh, when I worked down at...
Is it the pizza place?
Yeah, back when it was New England at that point in time when I was assistant soup. But yeah, man, but Devin was even scarier that way because, like, but after I did that for a while, it just became natural. I wasn't actually scared of people, and I'd actually get to the point where I'd purposely intimidate people when they're walking by, just stare them down because I'm a big guy. I'm like, fuck, man, I don't need to be scared of you. You're small.
I want to see if you remember this story the way I remember it, or maybe I only half remember it. But I'm thinking at Rosary Hall, Jay Lemon playing Resident Evil.
Oh man, yes, I remember all too clearly the ultimate scare. I still tell that story because it's still to this day the best video game freakout I've ever seen in my life. Because we're waiting for it too. We're like, come on, man, come on, just go over to. It was that scene where he's in the hallway and there's like a big plate glass window. We've already played it, so we know that once you get to a certain point in the hallway, the music's gonna kick in, and the screen, the window breaks, and tons of crows fly, and it scared the shit out of me the first time.
Wasn't it like dogs that jumped through?
No, it was a bunch of crows. It was crazy, like raven. things, but it wasn't like, you know, in the first game you might see like two or three. It was like 15 of them or some shit. So it was fucking insane because you're like, ah, they're all biting your face and stuff. So then that happened. We're just waiting for it. And Jay kind of walks in the hallways, but he's doing the old searchy thing. Like he wouldn't leave any. It's like almost like he's picking up a sixth sense that we're just waiting. Like, come on, man. Just walk to the middle of the hallway. And he got so close at one point. And then he actually turned around and was like, ah, what are you doing, man? Because I remember us talking about that right after. Like, ah, just fucking walk there. And then when it happened, he threw the controller. And I had a small room, like I already mentioned. So it was a big ass room. The controller actually scaled from like the bed to the corner of the room. It was like, blah, just gone. It's like, oh, I've never seen somebody just throw the controller.
Pure fear. That is awesome, though, because like those games, they really did like pioneer this new sense of like a weird connection with your character where it really was scary.
Yeah, it was you who was getting the shit kicked out of you. You know, fucking shit was happening to you.
And like in that first Resident Evil where they didn't have that many. You had to save your game. You had to have ribbons for the typewriter. And, like, it really was limited. Like, if you fucked up too much.
You couldn't save too many times because you run out of typewriter ribbon, yeah.
And, and it really does kind of work you up. But I remember the most scared I ever was at a video game was Resident Evil 2. I was playing it at my parents' house up on the third floor at, like, 3 in the morning, all the lights off. And there was this room that had, just a window to the other room you couldn't get into. And then later you get a key and go to the other side, and it's one-way glass on that side.
Oh, I actually remember that part.
The weird thing is, I realized, I was like, something's going to jump through that, you know, like just because it's glass on this, or a mirror on this side. But the exact second that I thought that is when it happened, and that made it way scarier, and I swear I almost...
Yeah, because you're right on the edge already. Fuck.
I could, if I had not... peed recently, I would have peed myself. I was so scared.
That was great.
I don't even know how to explain why I was so fucking terrified of that.
Man, I remember even playing like the first game. It was just so intense, like because that was the first time they had this whole survival horror idea, you know, as a game. And I remember there was a bunch of times where every time I'd unlock, you know, solve a puzzle and I knew that door was now open, I was fucking scared shitless. I'd run halfway across the mansion to go save my game again because I was fucking scared shitless of what was behind that door. It's like, could be a zombie, could be four zombies, could be something crazy I haven't seen yet, a big plant monster or something. Fuck, I'm so scared.
Yeah, it was fucked up.
And I was blowing through typewriter ribbon left, right, and center. It's like, all of a sudden, it's like, I got to go into this next room without saving, man. I got no choice. I'm running out of ribbon here.
I never actually could beat that first one. That game was fucking impossible.
Yeah. bit slower than the other. He was quite young, his mother. He died at the kitchen table while choking on some food that fashion.
But you remember this song? This is like an old story. This is kind of just a momentary stupidity in history, but it was a classic like Jay Lemon moment where he was playing Sonic the Hedgehog. I believe it was Sonic 2, actually. And he was trying to get through a loop-de-loop.
Right.
It was just a loop-de-loop. It was like one of the early levels, and he couldn't get his guy to run through it fast enough. And he was just like, wow, what do I do? And the whole time, we're like, dude, hold down the button, hold down, and press the jump button a bunch of times, charge up, and just go. But he, it's like he wasn't even hearing us. And I remember eventually you started like almost freaking out at him, and he still wasn't listening. And finally, you're like, grab, you're like, Jay, just hold in the button. And he's like, what? It's like, and he even said afterwards.
He's speaking like, of like horror games, I'm just gonna just jump in for a sec. That was just creepy right there. Where we're down a stretch where there's no street light.
Street lights,
and a car just went by.
Yeah, and it's like lights us right up.
Anyway, so you're saying
to Jay. So you like finally had to grab him, and then we were like questioning back. I was like, why didn't you hear us? He's like, I didn't even notice. Like he's like he was completely unaware that like our conversation had shifted from us just, you know, talking about comics or some shit to us yelling at him, dude, hit the fucking button, man. And it wasn't like Sonic was a complicated game. You had one button and a control pad, like really.
You want to hear something kind of freaky that sort of reminded me of is, I'm sure you and Brad, holy fuck, the light just went off on top of us. What the fuck's going on? What's that light over there in the distance? Is that the moon?
Yeah, it's the moon.
Okay, because
it's always weird too, especially because when I'm like, you see where my computer room is in the backyards,
right?
Like pretty dark. Every once in a while, when the moon is full, it always shines right through my window, but I might not know it's full till later. I'll be sitting there, all of a sudden it's like, what's going on? There's just some kind of weird, eerie light. I'm like, what's going on? Like, and then suddenly it'll hit me that the moon's right there. It's like, holy shit.
This whole thing, like, we could be abducted by aliens now and it wouldn't seem weird.
Like, unless the tape was left behind. Yeah. And it wasn't one of those stupid, like, time erase deal. He's like, contact. Like,
this is so different from fucking New York. So totally different.
Instead of the smelly streets, you get,
I'm country. Anyway, I was going to say, the people that knew me best when I was a kid would be like, you and Brad are probably the only two people that really know how bad I used to get mad at video games. I lost my shit over video games.
I've got some stories.
And you know what creeped me out about that is, so I mean, like, I've just totally lost my temper all the way, throwing controllers, yelling and screaming. And then I remember when I finally started to get it under control was the Genesis days where I would finally like stop playing, you know.
Yeah, you just put it down, you're like, I'm not playing this.
Yeah, exactly.
And you wouldn't even play video games for the rest of the day. You'd be like, I need to do something else, because you know you were in a pissy mood. You're like,
so and I kind of wonder if, like, to this day, did I ever really get over it, or did I just stop playing video games?
I don't know. See, I never really saw you progress past that, because I mean, you'd play games and, but you did do that. You started to realize, like, man, I'm just going over the top here for no reason. I might as well just not play.
But what I find weird about it is, at some point, I kind of just forgot that I ever used to do that. I think Brad brought it up one time, and it all just kind of flooded back, and I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, I used to be a bitch.
I said that every day for years. My theory is kind of like, I don't know, it's like I'm going to school and whatever bullshit in your life when you're fucking 10 years old that sucks. And then I get home, and it's like, finally, I don't have to deal with any of that shit anymore. And then Mario falls in a fucking hole, and I don't need that shit. Like, I was just kind of, like, focusing all frustrations on video games.
Yeah, and I remember, I still get pretty mad at games. Like, I remember one time, I was sitting in the room, and I didn't even know my mom's friend was there. And she's a real nice girl, named Kim. And she was always really nice to everybody and stuff. And she had a pretty good opinion of me. Like, I was a nice, quiet, calm, easygoing, quiet kid. Quiet! Yeah. Let's focus on that for a second. Because I didn't know she was there. So normally when I don't think anybody's around, that's when it's okay to really lose my cool and let it out. Full frontal. And I was playing, I think I was playing Sonic or something. I was fucking, I don't even know what it was. But eventually I was getting so mad. I believe I actually was trying to beat the last boss. of Sonic, and it was like just a super hard fight, and I kept fucking something up, and I actually got so pissed. I was just cursing and swearing and punching the controller every time I died, because that whole boss fight, you can only take one hit and you're dead. So every time I die, I'm like, fuck, god damn it. I'm like, what the hell is this shit? Blah, and I'm punching and those Genesis controllers could take a beating, man. To this day, I don't think any controller's ever gonna hold up to that old original Genesis controller. So I was punching it, and I had it on my knee for stability, just pap, pap, and it would just hold up. People like, yeah, just start playing the next level. And then all of a sudden, it was like, she said something, and that's what totally threw me off, because I didn't know she was there. She's like, wow, so, or she's like, so many swears. It's just like, oh. You know, I had no idea. It was just fucking, I shot right up, man. I think I even turned it off. I was so embarrassed. I was just like, god damn it. I was sitting there acting like a little kid. I can't stand this. And then all of a sudden, so many swears. It was just like, yeah, that pretty much deflated my anger right there.
I remember the last time I really, really got mad was, again, because nobody was in the house. Because, yeah, it makes a big difference. It was that game Kid Chameleon for Sega Genesis.
I actually played that when I loaded up the Gen emulator, but just to see how crappy it was.
In a weird way, it had some funness to it. You get little helmets and you put them on and you get different powers, but I got super far one time and died. And yeah, I just remember I was like out of my mind with anger. I was just like walking around the house looking for things to hit.
It was like the gauntlet of side view games. Like you get so far, and I don't think I ever beat, I don't even know how you're supposed to beat that game, because I owned it for at least a stretch. And I remember putting a lot of time into it and just never seemed to end.
Man, is this like a sign that we went too far, that is like total darkness?
Yeah, no civilization left. We're now probably out of range.
We'll be right back. So one thing I wanted to bring up is, so I was saying I was a projectionist in Vancouver, and it was really fun because, and I totally think, man, it's the kind of job, even if it's just like part-time or something, that you would totally dig because of all the...
I would love that job.
Yeah, just like dealing with the projectors and stuff. I remember one day the front, I can't remember the terms for things anymore, the turret on the front where the lenses are, it wouldn't close on its own. And I had, but the movie was about to start, so I had to MacGyver some shit. I took the shoelace off my shoe and tied the thing closed, but I was afraid that the light bulb from the projector
would
catch it on fire because it's like so hot.
Yeah, ultra hot.
And then after the movie was done, I grabbed a screwdriver and figured out what was loose and fixed it all up.
Nice.
But part of how I got that job is when I went to do my little interview with the head projection guy, I told him about the old, that blue reel-to-reel projector thing that we found.
That thing was so ancient. So I remember the day we found that too, because I was like in your closet in your room, which used to be your mom's room, and the closet was full of shit. And me, I can't help it. I like digging through shit. I'm still a bit of a pack rat that way. So I'm digging through old box clothes. And I was like, hey man, does this projector work? And like, I don't know.
And then we started looking more closely at what the reels were, and they were porn.
We're like headed up to light them, and it was a super small reels with that kind of projector.
A little 8mm.
Yeah, like super tiny. But we managed to get, you know, an idea what was going on. It's like, that's definitely some sucking and fucking.
So that clearly it was my dad's at some point.
his classic projector. Was like, where did dad find this shit?
So I remember I was talking to the head projection guy and kind of trying to feel him out, like what kind of guy he was, and it seemed like he was a pretty cool dude, so I thought he would appreciate the story. So I was like, yeah, me and my friend Terry, when we were young, we found this whole reel-to-reel and totally got it going and watched all the old porn strips, like the old
the old soundless porn strips.
And I actually don't know if that had any effect on me getting the job at all, but I like to know that I told him that story and I did get the job.
That's awesome, man. I can't honestly say I've gotten a job with a porn story or even brought up a porn story at a job interview.
Oh, the one memory too I remember the most with that little blue projector is, do you remember at your old place, upstairs there was that weird little like cubbyhole thing in the side of the wall?
I used to call it the stab lab. Stab lab. I had a big sign on the door just to keep my sister out, because every time you looked in there was like mangled teddy bears and shit. There was a Teddy Ruxpin with his guts all ripped out. That was my favorite, was the Teddy Ruxpin warning, like, yeah, fuck off, toys die in here, you know. Honestly, man, I was the Sid from Toy Story, you know.
And I remember we were in there one time with that little projector, and I remember your mom poked her head in, and you turned the focus way blurry.
Yeah, it was super blurry. I don't know why she knew it was porn, but I'm pretty sure I let a slip. Yeah, we're watching porn in there. She's like, seriously? Yeah, whole projector porn.
Because then I just remember you, because then it was all blurry, but you turned the knob, so it would come back.
Yeah, so for a second, you see her sucking the dick, and then back. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Wait, I can't make it that sound effect, too. Yes, now I remember. Whoop, whoop. She's like, just show me the picture, Terry. Like, yes, Mom, it's porn. We're watching porn. Fuck off.
But yeah, that was fucking cool.
Of all the places not to be safe in the stab lab, it only had like a 3-foot clearance. You had to crawl in.
Then I'm totally going to title this episode The Tam and Cam Show, because when we used to do little radio shows and shit, that's what we always called them.
The Tam and Cam Show.
Man, I wish we still had those tapes.
Tam and Cam.
That'd be so gold if we still had those.
Man.
I bet every kid says that, like every kid that records
shit. I wish I had any of those old tapes. I actually still remember my favoriteest like improv skit I did, and I wish I could even get remotely close to the vocal I did in that. It was totally improv. I didn't even know what I was planning on doing when I started doing it. Like, it was just one of those skits that just right off the brim, and it started off with me, I was like, okay, today, folks, I'm going to show you how to, and I even sounded that bad in the video, because I really had no idea what I was talking about. I was like, or in the audio, I was just like, yeah, today I'm going to teach you how to properly light a match. I remember you were sitting on the bed. It was actually when I lived in Pontiac, up in that attic, and I was sitting there, I was doing the tape, and I was like, yeah, today I'm going to teach you how to properly light a match. So first you get your matches, and I had some of those old classic boxes of matches, so I shook it around, and I was like, yeah, and then you dose yourself with light fluid. And I had something nearby. It was just like a squirt gun. I was like... And then you strike the match, and the match didn't go off the first time. That was the best part. It's just like, oh, didn't work that time. Let me try that again. And what I did was I lit a whole book of matches, so you hear right by the mic, and all I did was, and then I did this perfect, squeaky, little, whiny, painful voice. I was like, see, no problem.
Oh, man.
And I can't even do that vocal, but I remember I managed to hit stop just at the point where you just started rolling up the laughter. All you hear in the background is, and it was just like, and then boom, it stops. Because I knew we were going to lose as soon as I did that. I'm like, God damn, that was brilliant.
Man, yeah.
Right off the top of my head, I'm like, fuck. I wish I had that tape. Because I'd actually listen to that tape myself, go, what the fuck? What the? Oh, man, it's great.
Do you remember that record? I think it was a record. Maybe it was a record originally, and then we dubbed it the tape. But it was all just weird sound effects. Like an alien eating some guy, and it was just like a dude eating an apple.
It was, I wish I had that. It was. Just, I got it at a yard sale, too, for like 50 cents. It was a Disney sound effects record for Halloween, basically. But it had a bunch of other non-Halloween-y shit on it. And it had, it was the alien here. It was supposed to be eating the person. All here, like, wah, 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 wah. And then it was like these horrible chewing sounds. That you could tell it was just somebody eating broccoli or something.
And like, what was the fucking, the Chinese water torture one?
Oh, yeah.
Where it's just the drips, and then the dude just starts like,
I don't even know what I'm saying. I don't even speak Chinese. Oh, my God. That's all coming back. That's great. Oh, man. Because I used to use that. It was that old record. And I had that classic old, like, Boss turntable, you know, 8-track player, cassette player thing that actually let me record off the radio. Because remember, I had that microphone for a while?
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, it's like if The Simpsons had one of those, too, right? The fucking, hey, good looking, I'll be back. We had
one of those, but it didn't have the fancy antenna. It was just a wire hanging at the bottom. But it would actually let me go all the way out of my apartment, pretty much to the street before it really started breaking up.
Yeah.
So, and a few times I'd actually go and harass people. Like, hey, what do you think about the weather? It's like, fuck you, kid. You just don't go ask people the weather in Devon in the middle of summer, man.
Out of order.
So another thing that came up earlier that I'm interested to get the outside perspective on is my dad's porn collection.
Oh my God, man. Best porn collection ever.
What are your recollections of that?
Yeah, I remember, like, you know, when you're a kid, of course you scored a porn here and there. You got a glimpse of a Playboy, which is, you know, pretty lame by porn standards. I remember my first real porn was actually a Hustler. Remember that corner store?
Right.
Right on the corner of Gibson Union? I was walking, coming back from my lunch break one day, and I was walking just kind of by that store. And I looked over at the dumpster, one of those, you know, big-ass dumpsters that the truck picks right up. And there was something right in where the truck picks it up, like one of the sides. I was like, what the hell is that? It looks like a magazine. So I decided to go check it out. It was a Hustler. I was like, yes! You know, that was like my first real porn mag. But then, you know, you always hear about the legendary collection and stuff, but you never really see that many legendary collections, at least not around this town. But, man, to this day, there's nothing I've seen to compare. I've heard stories. Yeah, stories. Yeah, every time you see a movie, the guy's got, like, box porn. Yeah, that's nothing. That's a joke. Yeah, your dad had a goddamn chest of porn.
A giant trunk. Yeah, I can't remember the first time that I ever got wind of his porn, like, how I ever became even aware of it.
I actually remember. It was, every once in a while, he'd rotate the collection under his mattress. It would be, like,
right.
One or two different
that's
ones,
it.
You know?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Every week or every so many days, he would switch it up, and you'd try to sneak one out, you know, kind of under the wire, have a look, slide it back in. And then one day, he was, he'd gone somewhere, and I'm pretty sure it was me who picked the lock with the fork.
Yeah, yeah. So
because
yeah.
He had just one of those standard wiener locks on his door, which is a joke. It's got one tumbler in it.
Click. I do remember that. Yeah, we'd just bend one tine of the fork and just put it in and twist it.
Yeah, it was super easy. And then you go in and his chest has just had a standard, you know, wiener-ass Hope chest lock on it. Same thing. Stick the fork and give it a twist.
And yeah, like these were. Do you remember how? Okay, so like how porn has changed back in those days. In your general porn mags or Hustlers or whatever, they never would show, like a chick sucking on a dick.
Yeah, they
her
never show the hardcore.
Like, come up near it, but that.
Yeah,
was
it might, or it'd be the illusion like she's got his head or her head in his lap, and you can't see, you know, the dick at all. So you gotta kind of fantasize it's in the mouth, but you know it's really not. It's just camera trickery.
I didn't even know things had moved on from that because then I moved on to the internet. But until I got the job at the porn store, and I was like, hey, look, they can show dick sucking now.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
What a magical new world.
Yeah.
But back then they couldn't.
Yeah, the best thing we had was like the stories in Penthouse, you know, like the Penthouse letters and the Hustler forum and shit. It was just like that. That was the closest thing we had to, like, full real sex acts going on. But your dad had shit. It was like, and I remember they had these ridiculous price tags on them, like $175, $250, $385. You're like, what the hell? And they were like the super thick, glossy pages. Like, a book would only have like 30, 40 pages in it.
Yeah, they weren't normal porn mag size.
Yeah, it was
they
a
were
full
bigger.
On, and full on penetration, like in every picture. And you're just like, oh, God. Like, they're nothing compared to when you were a kid. You're like, you know, you see some
chicks
at Hustler, but now it's
a whole fucking trunk.
Yeah, a tickle trunk. But to this day, the thing that shocks me the most, I don't know how you could even read it all, was that giant ass bondage book that looked like a phone book. And it was actually made out of that cheap newsprint, so it had extra pages. It was fucking huge. I was like, and I remember my comment, I was like, that's bigger than some phone books. Because it was. I've seen phone books for like Truro and shit, that's like this. This book was like this. It's fucking huge. It was an inch of bondage porn.
I would like to see
the
fucking, I don't know, like if you could break down the economics of like what my mom spends money on and what my dad spends money on. Like,
frivolous, dirty. Food, groceries, bills.
Yeah, and I always kind of used to wonder if seeing all this hardcore porn when I was young was like a bad thing to do, but it doesn't seem like it matters anymore.
I'd almost argue that, like, if you can, you know, at least find some form of real, actual, hands-on education, you know, not just pamphlets at school.
I do wonder
it does help
too.
You prepare for real shit, man. Like, you gotta. I'd argue to this day that kids should actually be, you know, explained everything at a younger age.
I definitely agree. Yeah,
like explaining
how
and make them fully understand. Like, so they're not wandering around with these bizarre sex ideas that are just completely unfounded. Like, you know, like, yeah, if I jump up and down after sex, I won't get pregnant. Like, kids shouldn't even ever have to be able to think that. Like, goddamn, because parents are stupid.
Ugh. It really is weird too now how kids, like, with the internet, you know, like, wow, like, just gonna be so different. Like, once you decide you're interested in seeing porn, you're gonna be able to see some
exactly.
porn.
Exactly. Even if you don't want to see porn, you're gonna stumble on it real quick on the internet. Just like, oh, do Snappy Happy Hero Pop. Oh my God, full frontal titty, man! Fuck Snappy Happy Hero Pop, man. I'm checking it out. Oh my God, there's more titty. You know, like, that's welcome to the internet, you know? Fuck. Parents can block sites all they want, but kids aren't stupid.
But then, moving on from Dad's porn mags, then the next thing I found was his tape collection. You remember those?
Yes.
Where he had very specific tastes.
Kumchuck, kumchuck,
kumchuck. Yeah, well, kumchuck. I always find it kind of weird, because whenever I find that there's, like, similarities between me and my dad, but it's not, like, anything I could talk to him about. Like, hey, Dad, you know what you like in porn? I'm into that, too.
Yeah, I like those kumchucks. nothing closes a fucking picture. Like, I'll even rewind it if I'm not done yet, just so I can see that kumchuck. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. I kind of slipped that into me talking about me either.
Kumchucks.
It really is what he does. It's exactly what that guy Joe Matt, who does the Peep Show comic, does or did, in it, where my dad would take two, you know, have his two VCRs and rent porn movies. And basically, sometimes he would record some other stuff if he, I guess he, a scene really did it for him, but it really was just the cum shots, just the facials at the end.
Yep.
And he would loop them two or three times but the numbering of the tapes was the amazing thing. Of like, each one of these tapes was like long, hours and hours of just little edited stuff. And I can't remember the highest number I ever saw, but it was easily in the 20s.
Oh my God.
Like tape 27 or
something. Massive pop of tapes. See, I like my porn, but even most of the porn I even have, I you know, I'll watch it a few times. If it's got some legendary scene, I might hang on to it, but generally, most porn is like, eh, yeah, I watched a couple times, yeah, it's like, I need something new, you know, fuck porn.
I remember when I first had, when I was living in the third floor of my parents' house, so I had a computer way up there, and I remember I was definitely falling into this rut of I hadn't had a girlfriend yet, and I was just working at the comic store, and I really had a porn kind of problem going on, where I was just, I'd just, like, be sitting there downloading porn, and then suddenly the sun would come up, and I'm like, holy fuck, and that would happen a lot, but these days, I really enjoy just the fact that I can just get porn super easy on the internet, and it's so disposable, I don't even feel the need to really hold on to it anymore. Some stuff, but then if it all gets deleted or whatever, I need space, who cares, it's gone. More of where that came
that
from.
That is kind of the nice thing about the internet. Like, it's almost like a fast food environment. It's, yeah, I'll just take what I want when I need it, you know. I don't need to hang on to anything.
But I could totally see how this could be, like, a horrible thing, because, like, back in the day, every magazine ends, every tape ends, you know, you eventually get bored of it, but the internet never ends. Like,
yeah.
Never. They're making porn faster than you can look at it.
Yeah, and the sad thing is, like, they were saying a while ago, and it's kind of sort of unrelated, I guess, is that the porn industry, not just because of the internet, but because, like, the economy and all that shit, they're saying it's taking a huge dive, and I've even noticed this popped up in a few shows as a satire, like, you know, strippers striking and shit, you know, like,
because oh, Crank 2 had been.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, there's a bunch of, that reference keeps popping up, because the porn stars are it's hard to get any business nowadays, because there's so much free porn on the internet, so much amateur porn, everybody's willing to fucking suck and just slap it online, because they just want people to look at their dick, you know, they don't care about the bucks, they just want people to recognize their big wang. It's like, I got a 10-incher, have a look, you know, like, it's just, it's a smorgasbord out there, just type in X-tube, oh my God, you'll never go home.
And that's the kind of thing, too, that I'm interested in, but how would I ever ask him, is, like, how has my dad's porn life shifted?
Yeah, has it evolved over the years? Have you changed your tapes?
I mean, he's got a computer upstairs that's an old fucking piece of junk that drives me nuts, but, you know, it's easy enough to follow someone's tracks online, and especially old folk, they don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah.
And I don't know, he doesn't seem like he uses it for porn all that much.
Yeah, he's probably still, you know, a lot of people kind of get stuck in their ways, and I bet he still does the same old thing. He now rents DVDs, he takes them home, tapes them, and, you know, that's probably what he does.
There was this old guy, this is reminding me of this story. We had this deal at the porn store I worked at. Every Wednesday, you could get three tapes for $10, and or DVDs, but this guy was tapes. So this guy would come in with his own little cloth bag that he had to carry his tapes. And he was the oldest, ugliest man. Not the oldest man, but definitely the ugliest man I've ever known.
All pockmarked and shit.
Yeah, he had like, I don't even know what it was, but like a weird growth on his nose. And he just was a real ugly dude.
But
that's fine. You know, it's not his fault. What was his fault is that he was the biggest asshole in the world.
Oh, man.
Because we had this the system where, I thought it was silly at first, but it actually was very helpful, where the computer would tell you if someone had rented a movie before, and, you know, just so we could warn them, like, hey, you've already seen this one. And I thought that was ridiculous until I started needing to use it, because I got free rentals. And, you know, I was like, oh, I guess I already saw that one. So this guy would come get his fucking tapes, and, you know, he'd say he's already seen two of the three. And that would happen a couple of times. He kept trying to
get tapes that he'd already seen until finally he'd be like swearing at the tape cases. I think he was like hard of hearing, so he didn't think we could hear him, but he'd be over there just like, "You fucking bitches, fucking slut whores, fuck you," like literally in the store yelling at the fucking boxes.
Oh man, that'd be a little creepy, but
he was a
humorous.
Weird old dude.
Man, I was like, even when I try to remember what it was. I remember there was one stretch, I think it was when I was a CIT at the Y for a summer, just a counselor in training, and I'd take the bus, and every morning there was this one guy on there, and he used to this day, he still sticks in my mind as the creepiest guy I've ever seen anywhere, because he would, like, he was, you know, pretty old, he almost probably might even look just like the guy you're talking about, and he had, like, the nasty-looking face, it was kind of red and bumpy-looking, like, it just looked like it was melted goo, almost. And he would sit on the bus, and the whole time he would have his tongue hanging out of his mouth, and he would chew. It looked like he was chewing on it. He was just like, and it was always hanging out, and I couldn't stop looking at it. I was like, "Man, put your tongue back in, man. Put it in. You're gonna bite it off. Like, what the hell? Why are you chewing your tongue?
You're freaking people out."
But that wasn't the best part. The best part was that every girl got on. Didn't matter how young, old, short, tall, round, skinny. It didn't matter. He would blatantly stare at every part of their anatomy as they got onto the bus, and he'd always be sitting in the senior seat in the front. And as they got on the bus, he'd just be like staring at their tits, and then as they walked by, he'd stare at their ass, just blatantly, like. Like, he's following it like a camera. And the whole time, he's chewing his tongue, so it made him look even more perverted. He's just like... and every morning, this guy was on that goddamn bus, and I just sit in the back seat just watching it. So, man, this guy is so creepy. He's so creepy. We're like, stop staring at her tits. Fuck. What the fuck? Stop chewing your tongue. Like, every morning.
Another random memory that brought back is sometimes when I was working at the projection booth... It would depend on what time of year. Sometimes I got out pretty early, and then if it was like blockbuster season and we're playing three copies of Harry Potter, it goes real late into the night of, like, you know, just tons of these fucking copies of Harry Potter playing all night. So I'd have to stay real late, and the SkyTrain is like it's like a monorail with two rails. I don't know how they call it the SkyTrain, but it's their subway, so it wasn't running. So I had to take the shitty night bus that hardly ever runs from sketchy downtown Vancouver, where there's all these weird junkies walking around. And I remember one time it was always just generally creepy, you know, it was like weird and late and not a lot of people were around. I was on this one bus trying to go back to I'm trying to think of what the neighborhood would be called. It's basically East Vancouver, which is also kind of the crappy part of Vancouver, but I didn't have any money, so I had to live out there. And this guy was sitting on the bus, this Asian dude, and he had a briefcase handcuffed to his hand. And I think he did this on purpose. He opened it up, like, just for a second. Because I don't know, just so I would see it, I think. And it was full of, like, weapons, knives and shit.
Man.
And I was just like, what the fuck?
That
like,
would be definitely
a little
disturbing.
What is this, a hostile movie or something?
Yeah, that is a little disturbing.
So I was very glad he did not get off at the same stop as me. He's like, what the fuck, man? Jesus.
Man, yeah, that is a little odd. That's, like, right out of a psycho book.
man, I just turned down my recorder because I just want to capture this little sort of moment. I just like this where we are. So, I mean, that's obviously a farm in the distance, way bigger than Neil's farm.
Just went by.
Really?
That was cool. Yeah, I was right over there.
Shit. But yeah, I was just thinking this farm, this is just so, I don't know. I take a video because it's just too dark and you wouldn't be able to see anything, but I
mean, it's rustic.
Paint the scene. Yeah, rustic. Like, okay, so we got the big farm and the moon in the air, and even something about just billboards, Tim Hortons billboards. I think that fits somehow. It's just, yeah, all...
Introducing iced coffee.
And then what made me pull out the... 649 Lotto. 649
Lotto, yeah. The only things you need in Atlanta, Canada.
You know...
Tim's and lottery.
What are those noises? What is that?
They're crickets. That's some kind of cricket.
That's
variation.
Crickets? That's fucking loud.
Yeah, I know. It's mating season. Fuck, they are loud. I mean, I got a few Ramayos, but man, you get in this field, holy fuck.
They're mutating. Anyway, and then also what
mutant cockroaches.
What got me to pull out the recorder is the smell. The farm smell just hit me,
yeah,
and I kind of like it.
It smells so good. Like, yeah. It smells like cut grass and greenery and life.
And that's really the main reason why I do this podcast, so I can listen back and remember stuff. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to listen back to my pathetic description.
You smell that right now? Just starting to get an undertone of that manure smell. Oh, now it's getting strong. It smells so good. Now it smells like fucking manure.
even that, though.
Yeah.
In still, small doses.
I'm sure that manure probably still smells better than at least parts of New York.
But I was going to say about the lotto thing. This is another weird thing I didn't realize till I left New Brunswick. Is those like VLT machines, the video lotto terminals or whatever, they don't have those anywhere else. Vancouver doesn't have them, New York doesn't have them.
Really?
Yeah. And then you come back here and there's all these people just sitting in front of them like zombies. Yeah, and I'm like, this is fucking weird.
Just throwing their money away into digital gambling enjoyment.
Yeah, so it's basically for people who don't know, who I guess is everyone who's not in the East Coast of Canada. It's like, well, I guess you get them at casinos and stuff. It's basically just like little...
They're like slot machines, basically.
Yeah, little slot machines.
Different games on it. And
little weird poker games and
crap.
I
used to play on them a little bit, but I can honestly say I came away with more money than I put in, because I had this pattern where I'd put in a toonie. And if nothing happened on that toonie, that's it. I'm done. But if I started making even a little bit of money, like the game was kind of playing with you, I'd actually up my bet big time. And just as soon as I got any kind of pay, I was like, hey, $8. Woo. I just made $8 on a toonie. I'm fucking happy. And then I'd walk away. But most people can't do that. You know, me, I hate gambling, but I like making money for free.
I remember one time my cousin Dan was like, here, Keith, watch this. I'm going to show you why never to play VLTs. And he put a quarter in one and won $20.
that's not a good example.
So he bought me a chocolate milk, and I always remembered.
Yeah, VLTs aren't so bad. Yeah, I think it's actually because, like, in Atlantic Canada, gambling in general is not cool. You know, you're not allowed, there's no casinos and shit, really. And I know they're starting to spring up here and there, but for the longest time, there was no legal form of gambling. And then the VLTs came along, and I don't know really, you know, the history behind it, like why they decided one day, yeah, we won't let people play, you know, play on the slot machines in a casino, but hey, you could do it at the gas station.
Yeah, it is weird because they're everywhere around
here.
They're
all over the place. Every bar has just got people lined up, because I honestly think a lot of bars are staying just afloat because of that, because now that people can't smoke indoors, bar business has declined. It's no secret, right?
Well, it's one of my little stories I forgot to say about when I was at the North Star a couple weeks ago, is that was the most amazing sight to me, is you got the chick on stage fucking taking off her clothes, and then the people at the VLTs
just
not paying attention.
Not even paying attention. They're just there.
Don't care.
Well, I remember even when I worked at the hotel, they had the bar there, and every time I went in the bar, like the bar wasn't doing that good. They eventually put a whole new bar in and stuff and completely scrapped what used to be the River Room. And like back in the day, I guess the River Room was just kicking, but then the government actually put in some law that guys, you know, government guys couldn't go to a bar on their lunch break, because apparently all the parliament guys just come over like on their lunch and after work and stuff all the time and get rate tanked and have a good time, but then they weren't allowed to do that anymore and the River Room just went downhill. But I'd go in there, like, you know, just to pick up an order for a room or something, and there would be nobody in there. Maybe once in a blue moon there might be a couple sitting at a table, but it'd generally be pretty sparse unless there was some kind of event going on. But the VLTs always had at least three or four guys. You know, there was like, I think there was like six or eight machines or something like that, and there was always at least three of them running full time. There'd always guys playing those VLTs, but there'd be nobody there for any other reason, just to play those fucking machines.
Like, fuck. It really is crazy too, and I mean, I don't know any of the actual real logistics behind it, but the thing I always heard was it's just like the government's way to get their welfare checks back.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. I remember when I worked at the pizza place, we actually had a couple of VLTs, and that's actually when that was actually my only real stretch when I played them at all. Like, I remember this one time, this is like kind of a sad story, but it always reminded me, like, just the craziness of gambling. There was this one homeless guy,
And I saw that guy like many times over the years, and he actually wasn't a bad guy. I think actually he was like schizophrenic or something, because somebody said one time he asked him for money and she said no, and then he just broke down crying. The first time I ever heard him talk normal, like with her rendition of the stories, he was like, I don't understand why I'm like this. I wish I was normal. He was just freaking out. He just broke right down. So she brought him into Tim's and got him a sandwich because he was just so sad. But, you know, I'd see him when I worked at the hotel, I'd catch him sleeping under the stairs on the side part of the building. Like he'd come in the side door and he'd sleep under the stairs. And the manager used to tell me all the time, yeah, he's sleeping there. You kick him out. I'm like, nah, I'm not going to kick him out. It's fucking minus 20 outside. Fucking suck my dick. He's not a bad guy. He's just a big, scary guy. But he's actually, I've never seen him do anything violent whatsoever. But there was one time, it was like on a Thanksgiving or something. And of course, we're open, even though we weren't doing any business. And this guy came in a couple times, and he always come in. We just had this bare handful of change, just like pennies, a dime, and a few nickels, you know, just enough to make a quarter. He's like, can I get a quarter? He'd go over, put it in the machine, and then walk away. And he did that about 5 or 6 times that day. He'd just come in with just a quarter of change. And every time he thought, you know, he's going to get that Thanksgiving dinner or something out of that machine. And he never did. I was like, man, why do you, if you had saved up all that money, you could have got a coffee, you know? But man, he had nothing. It just depressed me so much. I was like, I'm never getting into those fucking things.
This isn't nearly as depressing, but it makes me think of how booze is way cheaper in the U.S. and they have at every liquor store like those little tiny bottles of booze, and they're like literally 99 cents in New York, but you'll see those little bottles all over the place because whatever random drunk hobo guy gets his dollar and can't get it. It's like if you just saved up $5, you could get a much bigger bottle.
Yeah, a huge bottle, like not a Mickey but a fucking pint.
But they just can't do it.
Yeah, it's too bad. Well, I remember this one guy, it's almost comical, it's kind of sad too, but he was one of those like, you know, kind of jelly drunks, but guy who got on people's nerves. And a lot of times he'd literally come in and just start harassing you just because he wanted you to call the cops because they wouldn't take him in the shelter. He was all drunk, but they let him sleep off in the drunk tank. And there would be times like he'd just come in, you're like, can you call the cops? I'm like, what? And then he'd just say, like, well, you haven't done anything. Then he'd just push over the tip jar. I'm like, okay. So I just hit this because I knew he'd just start doing more and more weird mundane shit. You know, he'd start harassing customers. You know, I was going to have to call the cops eventually. So you just call him up, like, yeah, got so-and-so here. And they knew him by name. They're like, yeah, we'll come get him. But there was one day, it was the funniest shit. He was, it was like middle of the day. He was out front. We had one of those big old bucket, you know, garbage cans that you're supposed to put your cans and your bottles and shit in. And that was actually our staff party money. Like, all the money that came off the recyclables actually went into our staff fund. And he comes in at one point. He's like, he was sitting out on the bench. And then he comes in and he's like talking to Jared. Now, Jared, you had to understand who Jared was. He was one of the managers, and he was fucking huge. He must have been like 7'2". Like, he was just a massive dude. And he goes up to Jared. This guy's only like, you know, 5'6". He's like, can I get a bag? And Jared's like, no, you're not getting those cans, Bert. You're not getting them. And he's like, you stay away from them. He's like, oh, okay. And then he goes outside. And then every once in a while, he'd go over, start pulling up the lid because he wanted those recyclables. And they're like, and Jared, old brother, went, Bert, get away from those cans! You know, just like so angry. You know, he'd be like, fuck, he'd fly off. He'd be back on the bench. And then at one point, he just comes in again. He's like, can I get a bag? Like, he knows, he'd already asked it. So Jared's like, yeah, here you go, man. He gives him a bag. I'm like, what the? Why'd you give him the bag? And he just picks up the phone, calls the cops. And the cops show up. And I actually decided to go on my break. And they started searching him, and they found his mouthwash. And they poured it out, and I've never seen a guy so downtrodden over losing mouthwash. He's just like, you can literally see him deflate and get shorter and smaller as the mouthwash hit the ground. I'm like, man, really? The mouthwash?
God, like, damn. That is fucking brutal.
But at the same time, it's kind of funny. But shitty.
I don't know how, like, it definitely, it's no coincidence that there's so many homeless people in Vancouver, because it's like the only fucking part of Canada where you can actually survive in the winter, you know, in the wintertime. How do people do that? Like, here there's not that many, but Montreal, when I was there in the winter one time, quite a few homeless, and it's like, how the fuck do you not just freeze to death?
Yeah. Like, totally. Well, I remember that big guy I was talking about, there's a couple times where he was actually sleeping on the bench right beside the playhouse. And I mean, it was like super cold out. And he actually, at that time, he had this big sleeping bag. And I'd leave in the morning, be like, you know, 5:30 in the morning, I'd be walking home. And he'd just be sitting there, and you could see him sleeping, and he'd be completely covered, but you could just see this little puff of smoke coming at the top of his sleeping bag. So you knew he was alive. But like, man, how can you sleep? It is minus 20 and you're on a bench.
Man.
It's like, and all you got is a sleeping bag. Like, you didn't have a tent to block the wind or anything. He's just sitting there huddled up in a sleeping bag, sleeping. It's like, man, how can you live like that? But apparently you can.
I remember, though, on the other hand, Vancouver homeless, I'm sure this was not true at all. Maybe I told this story before on the show, I can't remember, but Isn't that weird to think that this is a show?
It's a show. Quality broadcast.
Yeah, we're just
brought
walking
to you live from Canada.
Walking down the street in the middle of the night, but eventually this will be on the internet. People can listen to it. But I worked at the porn store, and I had to work at like 7 in the morning for this particular shift. So it was like 6 in the morning. I was like all tired going to work. And I walked past this homeless guy who was all bundled up in his like sleeping bag thing. And I was just like, that dude looks so comfy. Oh, that looks so great. Like, he can sleep in as late as he wants.
He can sleep in as late. All he has to worry about is getting, you know, rolled by other bums, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, as soon as he wakes up, it's going to suck. But right now, he's got it way better than me.
It's kind of the opposite of like waking up with a hangover. At least I'm going to feel better than later in the day. This guy's just going to feel like shit as soon as he gets up. Like, yeah, fuck.
The shiny searchlights in the sky. There's a new god in the side. They said the map is not the terrier work. And then I broke my telescope. That's the nature of a game, and you have to play. Bring back the pain of a god that's never blue. You're in control of the whole damn universe. Bring back the faith of a lots of a few. It keeps me calm. Into suicide, and I'll be right there by your side. The reproduction of your we'll be right back.
back the shame of a man.